You're listening to the Stress in the City podcast, a self-care resource for the busy and burned out. I'm your host, voiceover artist Brittany Nicole, and each episode, I'm breaking down adulting. Because what's more stressful than being an adult, right? I'll share the best books, methods, and tips to help us all figure out how to do this life thing better. Ready? Let's start the show. Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Stress in the City podcast. I'm your host, Brittany Nicole, and I have an episode today for you. Today, we are discussing something that I think you may not be excited about initially, quite honestly, but stick with me, okay? Today, we're talking about journaling. I'm a big proponent for journaling. And I have been doing some form or fashion of a journal since I was about 10 years old. In fact, I remember the moment and I really wasn't thrilled about it. One of my aunt's friends had come by. It was the summer and I was in New York with my grandparents as I usually did every summer. And one of my aunt's friends came and he had gifts for me and my brother. And, you know, I'm a kid. Of course, I love gifts. And I happened to see my brother's gift before I saw mine, and he got him a Game Boy Color. And I was like, oh, okay, well, if he got him a Game Boy, then maybe I got a Game Boy, or maybe I got something that was also cool. And he got me a diary. And I was like, Yeah, I can see that the value of both of these items are not the same, and I'm a little bit pissed about that. But I think maybe intuitively kind of had a sense that this was going to be an important tool for me. Even as a kid, I was like, okay, I think this is a whack gift, but I don't know, maybe there's something to it. And I gave it a shot. And I have never stopped. I have never stopped journaling. Back then, my journal was more so a place to vent. And it has developed, my journaling now has developed into something, while there is still venting occasionally, it's developed into something a little bit more structured. And, you know, when I have talk to my friends and family and people in my life about journaling, most people have the same kind of association with it that, you know, it's either like I don't see the purpose of it, or, you know, I've never done it, or there's this, I think, mental picture probably from TV and movies of a teenage girl writing in her diary, doing like a Dear Diary situation about whatever's going on in her life. And that's fine. That's totally fine. But there are actually some really productive ways that we can use journaling. And also in history, there are many people who, you know, we would consider successful, who we would consider influential, who we would consider very intellectual and very accomplished, who have also used journaling in their thought process and whatever their process was. Einstein used journaling. Nikola Tesla used journaling. And I don't remember all of the scandal surrounding his journals, but I do know that after he died, it was something that was very sought after to kind of see like what thoughts and creations and inventions were in his journals. So, you know, I think it's something that we can't discount as a tool that we can use. And if you're somebody that's listening to, you know, this podcast, you have an interest in personal development and growing, or maybe you're going through some things. So don't discount this as a resource that can do something for you, because it's done a lot of things for many people. So after that long intro, let's officially get into it. So just the basics. What is journaling? To me, the most simplified way I feel that I can explain it is it's a tool. journaling is a tool. It's a tool for modifying your thoughts. It's a tool for self-growth. It's a tool for self-discovery. And I mean, life is difficult, right? So we need as many tools as we can get to manage being an adult and navigating our way through life. And, you know, I, of course, recommend a good therapist at all times, but that's not a resource that everybody can have access to. Journaling is a predominantly free or even, you know, very inexpensive resource that if you can't, you know, get to a therapist or you don't have people that you can talk to that you, you know, can help you process your thoughts and feelings, this is a way that you can kind of start doing that on your own. So journaling is a tool. It's a tool for your mind. It's a tool for your emotions at its very basic level. Why journal? There are so many things that journaling can help us with. I was reading a study recently because I was curious about how many thoughts do we think a day as humans. And for a long time, I have been seeing this number of like 60,000 or 70,000, like we think 60 or 70,000 thoughts a day as humans. But apparently there was a more recent study done in 2020 that revealed that we actually think about 6,000 thoughts per day. I didn't get into the weeds of how they actually measured it. So I'm going to say take this number with a grain of salt. But the point is, we think thousands of thoughts a day. Now, if we have some control or some direction over what our thoughts are, and we're not just letting thoughts pop up and happen to us, imagine the improvement that we can, you know, have in our life. Let's say it's not thoughts. Let's say food, right? We eat food every day. If we just eat whatever comes up, or we eat without any sense of direction or control or any standards, then who knows what kind of condition our health is going to be in. But if we eat within a certain diet, we eat for, you know, our health, like whatever our health needs are. We eat to make sure our bodies are nurtured with good nutrients, and we drink water, and we're really like conscious about the way that we're eating. Of course, our health is going to be markedly better than if we just ate whatever was in front of us with no direction or no standards. Well, it's kind of the same thing with your thoughts. You know, if you have some control and direction and consciousness about the thoughts that you allow yourself to have, you're going to find yourself mentally in a better place over time. So I say that because journaling can be kind of a tool to help us in the process of guiding our thoughts. And just like there are so many benefits of eating with intention and eating with, you know, the purpose of taking care of yourself and taking care of your body, there are a lot of benefits that come with thinking with intention and exercising control over your emotions. Reducing stress is a huge one. And I think that this is the form of journaling that people are probably most aware of, is using journaling as a source for venting frustrations. But you can also use it to help organize your thoughts, to help, you know, get your words together before having an important conversation, and kind of thinking about, okay, what's the most important thing for me to say, or processing your emotions about a situation helps you to take some of the charge, the emotional charge, out of it, instead of reacting, you know, from this level 10 area. You can react with your emotions in mind, but also with the outcome in mind. And that definitely helps me to manage my stress before, you know, if I'm trying to avoid a situation, or even if I'm processing my feelings after something has happened. It's almost like it's an outlet. you know, journaling in that way, in the way of using it to reduce stress, is using it as an outlet. Another great reason to journal is improving your self-awareness. As you, you know, write out your thoughts or your emotions, over time, it helps you to become more conscious of your own behavior and conscious of your own patterns. And if you're literally using the same words time and time again, I know for me, it's like, okay, I keep finding myself in this situation. I've said this so many times. What do I need to change so that I can avoid being here? Or why do I keep finding myself in this situation? And that happens, developing that self-awareness happens over time once you start having the data to see, okay, I have a certain pattern that I tend to follow. Once you have the awareness of that pattern, now you can decide, do I want to do something differently? Is this working for me? Am I satisfied with this, etc.? Everybody can use more awareness of themselves. So that's an absolute plus in my book. Another benefit of journaling is memory improvement. And this is particularly cool to me because not only is it well-researched and very studied, I definitely have seen this take effect in my life. And so the mechanism behind why physically writing things down by hand works to or serves to improve your memory is essentially because you're calling on more mental resources. If you're taking notes and you're writing by hand, you're using your motor skills, you're using touch sensation, you're using visual perception. And because you're using more areas of the brain as you're writing things down, this helps you to remember what you're writing in more ways. This was very true for me in school when I would take notes. A lot of times, if I was taking a test, I may not exactly remember the information, but I remembered what my notes looked like. Or I may not exactly remember the information, but I had a mental picture of like what the textbook looked like. And that gave me some context clues to be able to answer the questions. But this type of journaling is good for note-taking. It's good for capturing events or capturing your recollection of events. It's good for dream journaling, which is something that I started doing recently. I know it sounds weird, but my dreams are weird. And I learn things from my dreams. Not that, you know, everybody's into that, but I'm into that. So another reason to journal, tracking your progress and your growth. And so this is one of the more productive ways that I do journaling is I have my planner, which, you know, if you really think about it, we all are probably doing some form of journaling, whether it's a to-do list, whether you're writing tasks down in a notebook for your business. Like, these are all still writing down thoughts and ideas and plans, etc. And so this part that I'm talking about is more along that line. And a little bit later on, I am going to talk about what my process looks like for that. But the reason that it's beneficial to do that is, one, to hold yourself accountable for what you are trying to accomplish. If you're just driving and you have no sense of direction where you're going, you have no idea where you're going to end up. But if you have a direction, you have a goal in mind, and you start, you know, tracking yourself getting closer and closer to that goal, even if you don't exactly nail the goal exactly when you want to, you have a record of where you are versus where you started, and you can see the progress that you made. And that's really a confidence boost, is to be able to see, oh, wow, I really have, you know, I have improved in this area, or I have made this change. And change is difficult. So, you know, boosting your confidence and seeing your progress is something that helps keep pushing you forward. And it's a way of having boundaries with yourself as well. So the last benefit that I'm going to discuss of journaling is improving your ability to express yourself. So the last benefit that I want to discuss on why you should journal is because it improves your ability to express yourself. And I want to be clear that I mean this in both an emotional way and a technical way. Emotionally, you know, if you're developing that relationship with yourself, identifying your own emotions, understanding your own emotions, associating certain words with certain emotions, that's great for you understanding yourself. The more you understand yourself, the better you can communicate who you are with other people, and the better you can actually understand other people. But also, I think just the exercise of using words more frequently helps you to improve your vocabulary. And having a better vocabulary helps you to be a better communicator, helps you to be able to use words that describe exactly what you mean. That's a skill. Knowing the words to describe exactly what you're thinking and exactly what you feel, or knowing in a moment like, okay, this person is not going to understand these words, so let me use words that they will understand. That's a skill that comes with being a good communicator. And, you know, we all do that in little ways. We all code switch in little ways. We don't talk to our parents the same way we talk to our friends. We don't talk to our friends necessarily the same way we talk to our coworkers or our boss. So using your words more, even if you're not necessarily speaking them out loud, helps you to be a better communicator and I would say a better listener too. All right, so we've discussed what journaling is, why we should journal. Now let's get into the meat. How do we actually do this? And this is where I lose people. Don't turn it off. Don't turn me off just yet. I'm going to give you some options, okay? Listen, I understand the visual, the book with the lock and the fancy pen. That's not your life. That's not my life either, friend, okay? I'm going to give you some options. Just stick with me here. Now, there's all different types of journaling. I'm not going to cover every single type of journaling there is in the world. I'm just talking about the ways that I use it and the methods that I use it as well. The first method that I want to talk about is what people would call stream of consciousness. I never knew it was called anything. This is just where you are writing what you're thinking. As soon as it comes up, there's no structure, there's no overthinking, there's no proofreading, there's no grammar correction. It literally is just a brain dump. And this is the method that I use for stress management. This is the method that I use, you know, to organize my thoughts. This is the method that I use when I'm trying to figure out or process my emotions and I can't get to my therapist. Stream of consciousness is technically what it's called, but it's really just writing whatever you're thinking and whatever you're feeling. And when I do stream of consciousness journaling, I'm typing usually because I can type much faster than I can write, and I need my words to be on a similar pace as my thoughts. If I am writing things, then my thoughts have to slow down and I'll miss things. So I don't do that. Also, you know, growing up, having a paper journal was just an invitation for my brother to find them and share them with my mother. I have been very traumatized by that. So now the methods that I use are digital and they are secure. Let me just tell you the story. I would always buy notebooks. I had tons of notebooks, and I would be in class just writing down my thoughts. I'd be anywhere and I'd have a notebook full of my thoughts and feelings. Well, I would keep them hidden, either like in my locker, somewhere where I knew that my family couldn't get to it. But there was one that I had at home that I guess, I don't know if I forgot about it or whatever the case was. Nevertheless, it was somewhere buried in my closet. Like, you would not accidentally stumble across this journal. You would have to be looking for dirt on me to have found my journal. Well, that's exactly what happened. My brother found my journal, shared it with my mother, and all of a sudden, my private thoughts and feelings were now a part of public record. That did not end too well for me. So after that lovely incident, I destroyed all of my paper journals, and I started using online journals because they were password protected. I didn't have to worry about anybody going into my closet and finding my journals to share with my mommy. Needless to say, and not for that reason anymore, but I still use an online journal when I'm doing stream of consciousness. Some other ways that you can do stream of consciousness journaling, in air quotes, is a video journal. I think this is actually really a great method of, you know, getting your thoughts and feelings out and watching yourself back, watching yourself talk about things in your life. It's very, it's surreal. And I don't have a lot of experience with this just because I didn't always have the resources to be able to do that. But it's something that I think is very interesting and very powerful. It's almost like talking to yourself in the mirror, keeping a video diary. It's another a way to consider doing that if, you know, sitting down with pen and paper or sitting at the keyboard getting your Carrie Bradshaw on is not your jam. That's another way. Now, another type of journaling, which many people do and they don't think of it as journaling at all, is tracking their fitness, their workouts, and their food. Now, I did this pretty strictly last year because I was working with a functional doctor who required me to track my food. And I kind of got off track once I stopped working with him, but I'm going to go back to this tracking my food every day because it's data. And especially if you use this in combination with other trackers like your mood or your sleep, you can see how input affects output. And I was able to learn a lot of things about the best ways to take care of myself or troubleshooting when my health is not where I want it to be. It's a form of journaling, and it does still have the overall goal of growth and improvement, but this is more of a productive life management way of journaling. Let's talk about gratitude journaling. What even is that? It is basically making a practice of noticing things in your life that you can be grateful for, that you are genuinely grateful for. And it's so powerful. It's so powerful, especially combating depression, especially combating anxiety. It can really shift you energetically from one state to another. But it is hard. It is hard. When I first started trying to make gratitude a practice, I was in a really low point. So I was like, I really don't even know what to begin to be grateful about. Like, everything is difficult right now. What the hell would I be grateful for? Here's the method that was introduced to me, and I don't really know what it's called, but I liked that it was easy for me to do, even if I was in a negative state. And it helped me to kind of shift my perspective to see that, you know, even if I'm struggling, there are things that I can choose to focus on that make me feel better. So you take a moment wherever you are, and in your immediate environment, look for something or focus on something that makes you feel positive. And once you find something that makes you feel positive, you state, you know, what it is that you appreciate about that thing or person, and then you build on top of it. And a lot of times how it happens for me is as I'm thinking of something that I'm grateful for and expressing what I'm grateful for, then another thing pops in my mind related to the other thing. So I'm going to kind of demonstrate what that process looks like for me. So right now, I'm in my studio, and I'm going to look for something that makes me feel positive to focus on. First thing I see is my phone. So I am grateful for my phone because it allows me to stay in contact with people that I care about, like my grandma. Okay, so then I'll go off of my grandma. I am grateful for my grandmother because she is wise, and she has always cared for me, and she helped me buy my first car. Okay, so now that I'm thinking about my first car, I'm grateful for my first car because it gave me my very first taste of independence and helped me to start to create an identity for myself outside of my childhood. See? And I probably could go further, but that's kind of what that would look like. But it took me from a very basic place of, oh, this is just my phone, to actually appreciating what somebody did for me and the impact that it had on me in my life. Now, the last method for journaling that I'm going to talk about is goal setting and planning. This is something that I started incorporating a few years ago when I was working with a business coach, and they introduced me to this approach to goal setting that I started applying to my personal life. And I started applying to all areas of my life, honestly. And the reason why I like to have really structured goal setting is because it helps you not only get clear on the goals themselves, but on the why of the goal. Why is it important to you? What value would this bring to your life to accomplish the goal? And also helps you to track your progress. So the format that I was introduced to and that I use is basically where you're thinking of whatever it is that you want to accomplish for that year. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be a goal. It could just be a bucket list item, something that you want to do, something that you want to try that year. So toward the end of the current year, I'll start thinking about what is it that I want to focus on next year? What do I want to accomplish next year? What do I want to try next year? What hobbies do, you know, I want to venture into next year? And as I think about those things, then I'll break it down into, okay, well, I'm going to try and get this accomplished in quarter one. I'll try to get this accomplished toward quarter three, etc. And so that gives me each month now, I have my big goals. Then I break them down into smaller chunks, and then I break them down into even smaller chunks. So that gives me each month, each week, each day, a concept of what I can focus on to get closer to whatever it is that's important to me. During the time, you know, during the year that the goals are set, sometimes the goals get met early. Sometimes they don't get met at all. Sometimes they change, and that's fine. I don't think that it's really the point of this is to really have everything tied down in your life and make sure that everything happens 100% according to plan. That's not realistic. That's not going to happen. It took me a long time to accept that truth, but it's true. You know, life just is full of uncertainty right now. So the point is not to have this false sense of security, like you're in control of everything in your life. And the point is not to beat yourself up if you don't accomplish everything that you sought to accomplish. The point is to have a sense of direction. And that to me feels good. That to me, having, you know, a concept of this is what's important to me and knowing that I'm working toward that, that makes me feel accountable to myself. That boosts my confidence and my belief in myself that I can accomplish what I seek to accomplish. And so I think that that's a very mentally healthy practice to have, whether you have a business or not, is to have somewhat of a structured approach to setting and managing the goals in your life. And you know what? Actually, I have a little bonus method because this is something that I started doing recently because I'm working with a new coach, and it kind of falls along the goal setting and planning form of journaling, but I've never done anything like this before. And that is, well, vision boarding is something that I have done before, but instead of having a vision board, I have a vision book now. And I love that. It's, you know, where you have your goals and you're clear on what your goals are, but then you create visual representation of your goals. It sounds silly and it sounds childish, but the mechanism behind it is that as you visualize your goals and imagine your goals, this helps you to believe in your goals more. And that is really key. If you don't believe that you are able to accomplish this thing that you want to accomplish, you're not going to be able to pursue them with conviction. So having a vision book is something that I also recommend as a form of journaling. And I don't really use words with that. You know, I do a lot of all of my journaling, whether it's the stream of consciousness typing or my planning, my food journals, they're all digital. And lately I've been using the GoodNotes app. I like to create my own journal so that they look exactly the way I want to look. They're branded with my colors. They have all the sections that I need to have, etc. And that is what I use for my my vision book as well. So it's basically a scrapbook where I have, you know, pictures of things that are visual representations of my goals. And since I started doing it, I feel way more certain about what it is that I want to accomplish it and the fact that I want to accomplish it. You really cannot undersell the power your imagination has. You know, if your imagination is small, you're going to think small. You're going to have small goals. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you actually want more than what you have been exposed to, you have to expand your mind. And it sounds silly, but visualization is a method that elite athletes use when training for games and training for, you know, big moments or big competitions. So it's not to be underestimated, no matter how silly.
So that's it for this episode, but our fun doesn't have to end here, so, friends. The after party that's is it, on friends. Instagram.
I
you can follow me at It's Brittany Nicole. I'd spell it out for you, but it's in the show notes. And I post a lot more self-care content. I post some of my voiceover content there, so come and hang out with me there. And if you're loving Stress in the City, please leave a 5-star review. Lets me know that I should keep going, and the encouragement is always welcome. So thank you again for listening, and until next time,
thank you again for spending time with me and listening to another episode. Stay tuned next episode as we dive into therapy, one of my favorite topics, and how to get started if this is something you are interested in or curious about.